This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thanks for joining us for our daily case update call. We'll begin with Dr. Josh Clayton giving a brief overview of today's cases, and then some brief remarks from Secretary Malsom Risden, and then we will take your questions. I will unmute the lines once we get to the question and answer portion of the call. I'll start and let Dr. Clayton start us off.
All right. Good morning. As of today, we are reporting 180 new cases of COVID-19. We have 6 new hospitalizations to report. We have no new deaths to report. We have 68 new individuals who have recovered from COVID-19, and we have 383 new negative tests that have been performed. In total, that brings our case counts in the state to 1,168 total cases of COVID-19. We have had 51 hospitalizations and 6 deaths. We have a total of 329 individuals who have recovered from the virus, and there have been 8,691 total negative tests performed. We have no new updates to the community impact map. We do have a couple of different changes within the counties. We have a previously reported Brule case that is now in Minnehaha County, and a previously reported Union case that is in Lincoln County. Very much preliminary data related to cases that by county out there. In total, we have 80 new cases associated with Smithfield, and those are Smithfield employees. We have, in total, then 518 Smithfield employees that are part of our total case count. And with that, I'll turn it over to Secretary Malsom Risden.
Thank you, Dr. Clayton. I just wanted to let folks know that one of the new cases being reported today is a positive case of an individual in the Jamison Prison Annex of the South Dakota State Prison in Sioux Falls. The details surrounding that is that this individual was brought by the Sioux Falls PD on the evening of Saturday, April 10th. He was immediately isolated into a cell by himself. He was brought to the penitentiary for an intoxication assessment. Nurses with proper PPE were able to assess him every 4 hours and conduct an intake assessment with him when he was able to participate in that on Sunday. It was at that time that we were made aware that he was a potential contact or may have been exposed to a positive COVID case. And so we were able to collect a specimen and got those test results yesterday. That particular inmate remains in isolation, and the Department of Corrections has confirmed that no other inmates have had contact with this individual. We will continue to investigate this case as we would with any other case to ensure that any other contacts of this positive case are notified and that they take appropriate precautions. So I just wanted to alert the media to that situation.
All right, I'm going to unmute our lines, and we will take your questions. I'll now take first question.
Hi, this is Todd Epp at Kello Radio in Sioux Falls.
Go ahead, Todd.
Yes. Can you provide the first date that the Department of Health was notified that someone from Smithfield was ill from the coronavirus, and then can you then give the timeline of when Smithfield was then notified, the patient was notified, and the city of Sioux Falls was notified about that infection?
So I do not have any of that information readily available for today's call. Please submit a request to our Joint Information Center.
Yeah, Todd, you can submit that request to me, and I'll get that information for you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hi, this is Ray Yost from Kelland calling.
And go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, my question is when it comes to modeling, I'm curious, as when you did your initial projections, was there anything remotely consideration for an outbreak like this at a facility, a processing facility? Did this figure into any of the modeling in any way?
So there will be more additional discussion later today as part of the governor's press briefing. But what I can say is that, you know, our modeling is not specific to, you know, where the cases within the community were originating. And so the statewide model indicates just a general increase in case volume, regardless of where those cases were coming from.
Next question.
Joe Neubauer, HSC.
Go ahead.
Do you have the numbers as to how many people are currently hospitalized?
The number that were hospitalized, so we have six new hospitalizations today, and that makes a total of 51 individuals who have been hospitalized ever.
Right, but so there are only six people in the hospital with COVID right now?
No, the number is six new hospitalizations among the cases that are being reported today, and the total is 51 who have ever been hospitalized. We have not been releasing at this time the number of individuals who are currently hospitalized.
Thank you.
Next question.
Jack Cottle with KEVN and KOTA. As you release the number of tests each day, the percentage of those that are positive is on the rise. What do you attribute that to, and is that something that you expect to see?
So that definitely is something that we're monitoring. One of the things that I can say is that, you know, when we have identified, areas where we have cases, we have clusters, we have been focusing on enhanced testing within those areas, and that would, lead some of the increased percentage of test positive over time, just because we are not doing general testing just within the community, but focused testing in areas where we have seen additional cases.
Next question.
This is Michael.
Jody,
I heard Jody.
Thanks. Follow up on the testing. Looks like we had been averaging about 300 to 400 tests coming in per day. Today was a little over 500. You guys have provided me a statement that said with adequate testing supplies, the statewide capacity is actually several thousand tests per day. Can you give me a sense of what it's going to take to get to that point? Is it missing supplies? Is it something with the laboratories? But what's it going to take before we can reach that point where we're seeing several thousand tests per day instead of a few hundred?
Jody, this is Kim Olson-Ryson. So the lab capacity that we have in our state amongst the state lab and then the commercial labs, the health system, is several thousand tests per day. The reason we're seeing the numbers come in as we are seeing them is due to supply issues as well as demand. And so I think those are both important considerations. We are actually testing at a higher rate than the U.S. We rank 19th among all states. So we know that we're, to the degree other states are having issues with supply chain, that's, we're not unique in that regard. We continue to advocate to get the supplies that our labs need to be able to run the tests that they need to do. But we'll continue to do that. I don't think we have a timeline for, when that supply chain is going to be, fully open.
Next question.
Jeremy Fugelberg, Forum News Service.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, I believe the governor said yesterday, beyond the Smithfield workforce, there was 107 related cases. What's that number today for those connected to the Smithfield workers but not workers specifically?
Yes, So that would be 126 individuals that are identified as cases among Smithfield contact, or those individuals that are contacts of Smithfield employees.
Okay, thanks.
Next
question. This is Michael from Kellogg.
Go ahead, Michael.
I just want to clarify, so the 126 is total connections and then 518 total employees, correct?
518 total employees, and then, yes, of those contacts to those 518, 126 individuals have tested positive. But just realize that, you know, what we're looking at is about 10 contacts per case. Has kind of been the overall state average.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
This is Lisa with the Argus Leader. Governor Noem tweeted this morning that the CDC team is on the ground in Sioux Falls, and just wondering if you can explain why they're here and what they'll be doing.
Sure, Lisa, this is Kim. We requested the CDC to bring some occupational health experts in to help us understand the situation at Smithfield and the things that they can do to protect their workforce. Smithfield's working cooperatively with us on this, and so we look forward to that review happening and, you know, doing the mitigation needed so that they can reopen.
This is just
off the Capital Journal.
I'll go with the Capital Journal.
Good morning, y'all. Thanks for taking my call or my question. I would like quick math. If there's Dr. Clayton, sir, if there's 500 or so individuals and each of them has 10 contacts, is that 10 contacts that will like probably be positive is what you're seeing in the state model? So that's 5,000 folks that are probably going to test positive. I mean, I just, you know, not like doom and gloom, but like reality, how is Sioux Falls ready for that? And when do they think if it does happen, when like will that peak there? Thank you. Sorry.
Well, I think the focus here is that, you know, overall we're seeing, you know, about a test positivity rate of about 10% in total. And, you know, just need to recall that of the individuals that are considered close contact, and this is true of any situation, you're looking at individuals who are both in the workplace, in the household, and then any other individuals that they may have come into contact with in the, you know, 2 days prior to their symptom onset to the time that they isolate to home. So, you know, we are looking at a number of individuals, and the exact, you know, risk of testing positive is something that is based a lot on how much time and in what proximity an individual spent with a confirmed case.
This is Kim. I would just add that, you know, to the degree that we are seeing an increase in cases, that is what we have projected for, you know, since this whole event began. And so, you know, certainly we will continue to work those cases on a very active basis and ensure that we're working all parts of the response. But, you know, again, the modeling shows that we would expect to see, you know, a minimum of 30% of our population to become infected with COVID-19.
All right, one final question.
Ray from Kellogg, if I could. We're talking about Smithfield now. What can the DOH do to help so that this doesn't happen in another workplace where there's close proximity, assembly lines, manufacturing, ag processing, those kind of things? What are you doing to help, say, to prevent this?
Yeah. So there are, you know, very clear guidelines from CDC, you know, both as generality for work the employers, you know, of any business, as well as those that are specifically focused on critical infrastructure employees and employers. And so, you know, it is a focus on making sure that those businesses have access to that information, and you know, making sure that if there are any specific needs that they have, that we're addressing those. But that would be on an employer by employer basis.
Just a quick follow up. That information was available with Smithfield as well. So, can you do checks? Can you contact? Can you visit sites to make sure that those guidelines are actually being followed?
Well, so actually the critical infrastructure guidelines were not released until, well into the cluster that we observed in Smithfield. So that is information that is being relayed to those critical infrastructure groups.
All right. Thank you for joining us today, and we will visit with you again tomorrow.